Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin Manim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're talking about Metzia Daf Kuf Beis, the eighth parak of Shol HaSapara. The eighth parak has been generously sponsored by Nishmas Rav Yaakov Moshe ben Rav Binyamin Yosef Al Hashalom. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on the previous Daf taught that if one rents his house to another, the zevel, the manure found in the courtyard, belongs to the landlord. The Gemara said if the courtyard was also rented, or if the oxen belonged to the tenant, then the zevel should belong to the tenant in the former case because his rented chatzar acquires for him, and in the second because the zevel was produced by his cows. The Gemara explains that the case is b'chatzar d'maskir, with the landlord's courtyard, which he did not rent out, as Rashi explains, v'sori da'asim ha'amo kamva, and cows which came from elsewhere were standing in it. Since the cow's owners presumably were mafkir the zevel, the landlord acquires it with his chatzir. The Gemara notes that this supports the ruling of Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, chatzir shel adam konu lo shel madaito, a person's chatzir acquires for him without his knowledge. The Gemara analyzes this principle at length. Point number two, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina's ruling is challenged by Brice, which teaches the does of a dovecote, of a sholach, are subject to the mitzvah of a shulach hakein, and are prohibited mid the rabban to be taken by others because of darchei shalom. According to Rabbi Yossi, the egg should be acquired by the chatzir and be exempt from shulach hakein, because the pasuk says ki yikra, if a bird's nest happens, meaning prat umuzuman, which excludes a nest which is at hand. Rava answers that beitza becomes obligated in shiluch when its majority leaves the mother's body, but it's not acquired by one's chatzir until it falls into his courtyard. It is during this interim that the brisa says the eggs are subject to shulach hakein. Alternatively, the Gemara explains that since Rav says it's forbidden to acquire the eggs while the mother is roosting on them, they are subject to shulach even after falling into his chatzir, because kol hege de'ilu matzi zachile, wherever he cannot acquire them because of the prohibition, chatzir onami lo zachile, his chatzir also does not acquire them. The rabbinic prohibition against stealing is explained according to each interpretation. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if one rented out a house for a year and a leap year was declared, adding a 13th month, the tenant does not pay extra. If it was rented per month, he must pay for the additional month. The Mishnah concludes with a story which the Gemara explains to reflect a new case, b'shneimasar zahav u'shana midinar zahav u'chodesh, of a rate of 12 gold dinarim for a year, 1 gold dinar per month, where Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi ruled to divide the extra month's payment. Three opinions are recorded about this ruling. Number one, Rav says that he would have awarded the entire month's rent to the landlord because he holds tafus lashon achron, grasp the final expression, as primary, in this case, the one dinner per month phrase. The Tanaim divide the month because they were uncertain which phrase is primary. Number two, Shmuel says the case is bevo be'emsa chodesh, when the landlord came in the middle of the 13th month. Because of the uncertainty, the tenant cannot be forced to pay time he already lived there, but must pay to continue to remain in the house. And number three, Rav Nachman says, karka becheskas ba'aleh kayemes, land always stands in the possession of its owner. Thus, the burden of proof always rests on the tenant, even if the 13th month passed. So once again, the three points are, number one, the Mishnah on the previous daf taught that if one rents his house to another, the zevel found in the courtyard belongs to the landlord. The Gemara said if the courtyard was also rented, or if the oxen belonged to the tenant, then the zevel should belong to the tenant in the former case because his rented chatzar acquires for him, and in the second because the zevel was produced by his cows. The Gemara explains that the case is b'chatzar d'maskir, with the landlord's courtyard, which he did not rent out, as Rashi explains, v'sori da'asim ha'amo kamva, and cows which came from elsewhere were standing in it. Since the cow's owners presumably were mafkir the zevel, the landlord acquires it with his chatzir. The Gemara notes that this supports the ruling of Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, chatzir shel adam konu lo shel madaito, a person's chatzir acquires for him without his knowledge. The Gemara analyzes this principle at length. Point number two, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina's ruling is challenged by Brice, which teaches the does of a dovecote, of a sholach, are subject to the mitzvah of a shulach hakein, and are prohibited mid the rabban to be taken by others because of darchei shalom. According to Rabbi Yossi, the egg should be acquired by the chatzir and be exempt from shulach hakein, because the pasuk says ki yikra, if a bird's nest happens, meaning prat umuzuman, which excludes a nest which is at hand. Rava answers that beitza becomes obligated in shiluch when its majority leaves the mother's body, but it's not acquired by one's chatzir until it falls into his courtyard. It is during this interim that the brisa says the eggs are subject to shulach hakein. Alternatively, the Gemara explains that since Rav says it's forbidden to acquire the eggs while the mother is roosting on them, they are subject to shulach even after falling into his chatzir, because kol hege de'ilu matzi zachile, wherever he cannot acquire them because of the prohibition, chatzir onami lo zachile, his chatzir also does not acquire them. The rabbinic prohibition against stealing is explained according to each interpretation. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if one rented out a house for a year and a leap year was declared, adding a 13th month, the tenant does not pay extra. If it was rented per month, he must pay for the additional month. The Mishnah concludes with a story which the Gemara explains to reflect a new case, b'shneimasar zahav u'shana midinar zahav u'chodesh, of a rate of 12 gold dinarim for a year, one gold dinar per month, where Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi ruled to divide the extra month's payment. Three opinions are recorded about this ruling. Number one, Rav says that he would have awarded the entire month's rent to the landlord because he holds tafus lashon achron, grasp the final expression, as primary, in this case, the one dinner per month phrase. The Tanaim divide the month because they were uncertain which phrase is primary. Number two, Shmuel says the case is bevo be'emso chodesh, when the landlord came in the middle of the 13th month. Because in the uncertainty, the tenant cannot be forced to pay time he already lived there, but must pay to continue to remain in the house. And number three, Rav Nachman says, karka becheskos ba'alei kayemes, land always stands in the possession of its owner. Thus, the burden of proof always rests on the tenant, even if the 13th month passed. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kubeis, and our standard siman is a cave. A cave, so here goes. The landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevel that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out, since chatzero shel adam konelo shel medaito, and happily knows the eggs in the shovach, so he could do the mitzvah of shulach hakain, had come to collect half of the 13 months' rent, since he had rented it at the rate of 12 dinarim per year, one dinar per month. Once again, slow motion. The landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevel that was in his courtyard of the cave, that must be on Daf Kuv Beis. The landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevel that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out, since chatzero shel adam konelo shel medaito, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous Daf taught that if one rents his house to another, the zevel, the manure found in the courtyard, belongs to the landlord. The Gemara explains that the case is with the landlord's courtyard, which he did not rent out, as Rashi explains, and cows which came from elsewhere were standing in it. Since the cow's owners, presumably, were mafkir the zevel, the landlord acquires it with his chatzer. The Gemara notes that this supports the ruling of Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, chatzero shel adam konelo shel medaito. A person's chatzer acquires for him without his knowledge. So the landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevel that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out, since chatzero shel adam konelo shel medaito, and happily knows the eggs in the shovach, so he could do the mitzvah of shulach hakain, which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina's ruling is challenged from a brayso which teaches that doves of a dovecote are subject to the mitzvah of shulach hakain and are prohibited midrabbanan to be taken by others because of darchei shalom. According to Rabbi Yossi, the eggs should be acquired by the chatzer and be pater for shulach hakain because the pasuk says ki yikra, if a bird's nest happens, prat l'mezumen, which excludes a nest which is at hand. Rabbi answers, an egg becomes obligated in shuluch when its majority leaves the mother's body, but it's not acquired by one's chatzer until it falls into its courtyard. It's during this interim that the braisa says the eggs are subject to shuluch hakain. So, the landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevel that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out, since chatzero shel adam konelo shel medaito, and happily knows the eggs in the shovach, so he could do the mitzvah of shulach hakain, had come to collect half the 13 months' rent, since he had rented it at the rate of 12 dinarim per year, one dinar per month, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one rented at a house for a year and a leap year was declared, adding a 13th month, the tenant does not pay extra. If it was rented per month, he must pay for the additional month. The Mishnah concludes with a story which the Gemara explains to reflect a new case of a rate of 12 gold dinarim for a year, one gold dinar per month, where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yossi ruled to divide the extra month's payment. Three opinions are recorded about this ruling. So once again, the landlord, who was thrilled to acquire the zevel that was in his courtyard of the cave he rented out, since chatzero shel adam konelo shel medaito, and happily knows eggs in the shovach, so he could do the mitzvah of shulach hakain, had come to collect half of the 13 months' rent, since he had rented it at the rate of 12 dinarim per year, one dinar per month. All right, so now it's time for our four blah blah chazar. Daf tzadiches. So the simmer daf tzadiches relates to schok, and we use a clown. So here goes. The clown, that must be more daf tzadiches, schok. The clown doing the hilarious two borrowed, one rented cow act, admitting that one borrowed cow died but wasn't sure about the other dead one, which reminds us, in the final case of the Mishnah, the owner claims he gave two cows as a loan and one as a rental, and both borrowed cows died. The defendant admits that one borrowed cow died but is uncertain which of the other two died. In all the cases, the defendant must swear, and since he cannot, he must pay. So the clown doing the hilarious two borrowed, one rented cow act, admitting that one borrowed cow died, but wasn't sure about the other dead one, while his partner, who rented a cow after borrowing it with the owner servicing him, tried to claim Balavimo still applies, which reminds us, Rabbi Abba Bar Mama asked, Sha'ala Babalim, if one borrowed an animal with the owner servicing him, and then rented it from him without the owner servicing him, when the rental began, does the Balavimo exemption apply during the rental period? Do we consider the two periods of Shmira as separate transactions, and he would thus be liable for Gneva Vaveda for the rental? Or do we say rental is connected to borrowing since the liabilities of the rental, Gneva Vaveda, were already present at the time of the loan? Thus, we may view the rental as a continuation of the original loan transaction, which was made with Balavimo. So the clown doing the hilarious two borrowed, one rented cow act, admitting that one borrowed cow died, but wasn't sure about the other dead one. While his partner, who rented a cow after borrowing it with the owner servicing him, had tried to claim Balavimo still applies, concluded the show right after a clown dressed as an owner's shaliach announced the borrowed cow he was delivering had died in transit, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if someone was borrowing a cow, and the owner sent it to him with his son, a slave, or a shaliach, or with the borrower's son, slave, or shaliach, the borrower is pater until he receives it. Dav Tzadi Tes, and the similar Dav Tzadi Tes is a cheetah. So here goes. The cheetah, that must be more on Dav Tzadi Tes. The cheetah owner's Evakanani, who wasn't too sure if the one who wanted to borrow the cheetah was wise to tell him to strike it with a stick and will come to me, making him immediately liable, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if the owner sent a cow with his own slave at the borrower's request, the borrower is immediately liable. Rav says the Mishnah can refer to an Evakanani, but the case is, as the Gemara concludes, where the borrower said, strike it with a stick and will come to me. Rav ruled about such a case, as soon as it left the lender's domain and died, the borrower is liable. So the cheetah owner's Evakanani, who wasn't too sure if the one who wanted to borrow the cheetah was wise to tell him to strike it with a stick and will come to me, making him immediately liable, just as the one who'd lent him a hatchet to protect himself asked for it back before he could use it, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokas, if a borrower acquires the item with usage or mashicha, such as in the case of one who borrowed a hatchet and the owner wants to retract. So the cheetah owner's Evakanani, who wasn't too sure if the one who wanted to borrow the cheetah was wise to tell him to strike it with a stick and will come to me, making him immediately liable, just as the one who had lent him a hatchet to protect himself asked for it back before he could use it, knows the cheetah had its eyes on a thief who stole a cake of pressed dates, which contained 50 dates, and was selling it for 49 prutos, which reminds us, Shmuel said that if one stole a cake of pressed dates, which contains 50 dates, which are sold together for 49 prutos, but can be sold individually for a pruta each, totaling 50, then if the cake belonged to an ordinary person, he pays 49, but if it belonged to Hakdash, he pays 50, plus the additional surcharge of a fifth. The Gemara explains that although the private owner can claim he would have sold the dates individually, so his loss is 50 prutos, a Mishnah teaches that damages of crops are assessed not based on their own value, but in the broader context of the field's selling value. Thus, damages to a private individual, as well as theft, which is a form of damage, are assessed leniently. Dav Kuf, so the Siman Dav Kuf is a kof, a monkey. So here goes. When the man exchanged a cow for a monkey, that must be more in Dav Kuf, kof, monkey. When the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, if one exchanges a cow for a donkey and the cow gave birth, or if one sells a shivcha and she gave birth, and the seller says the birth occurred before I sold her, and the offspring is mine, and the buyer says the birth occurred after I purchased her, and the offspring is mine, yalchaloku, they divide the value of the calf or slave child. The Gemara concludes the Tana Sumkas, who holds mamon amutal basafik chokim below shavua. Money whose ownership is in doubt is divided without a shavua. So, when the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, the monkey escaped and jumped on the backs of a small slave and large slave, which two men were arguing over who was sold, which reminds us, the Mishnah say that if the seller had two slaves or two fields of different sizes, and the buyer claims to have purchased the larger one, and the seller claims he sold the smaller one, the seller swears that he sold the smaller one. The Gemara raises three objections to the seller taking an oath and provides three answers. So when the man exchanged a cow for a monkey and the cow gave birth, and the seller and buyer disputed when it gave birth, the monkey escaped and jumped on the backs of a small slave and large slave, which two men were arguing over who was sold, and then swung on the branches of an olive tree, which was sold for its wood, which yielded more than a ravias of oil, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one sold his olive trees for their wood, and the buyer did not remove them immediately, and they produced olives of such poor quality that a saw of them yielded less than a ravias of oil, they belonged to the owner of the trees, If they produced olives which yielded more than arugula, and the buyer says, my olive trees produce the olives, and they're mine, and the seller says, my land produced the olives by providing nutrients, yokoloku, they divide the crop since they were both instrumental in producing the crop. Daf Kuf Olive. So the Siman Daf Kuf Olive is a bird caller going, caw, caw. So here goes. The bird caller, that must be more than Daf Kuf Olive. Caw, caw. The bird caller snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that if olive trees were swept by a river into someone else's field and produced olives there, the olives are divided between the tree's owner and the field's owner. Ravin quoted Reish Lakish saying that they're only divided if the trees were uprooted with their clods of soil, thus maintaining their status of having passed the oral prohibition period and only during the first 3 years. After the first 3 years, however, all the olives belong to the landowner because he can tell the owner of the trees, if I had planted my own trees 3 years earlier, would I not be eating all the produce after 3 years when the oral of prohibition passes? So the bird caller snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, and planted a tree without permission to attract the rare kuf olive bird, expecting to be paid. Which reminds us, Gemara says, Yordo toksado chavero, v'nata shomur rishus. If one went down into his fellow's field and planted trees without the owner's permission, Rav says, they assess his expenses and the improvement's value, and he has the lower hand, meaning he's paid the lower of the two amounts. Shmuel says, they assess how much a person would want to pay for someone to plant trees in this field, and he pays that amount. Our Papa clarifies that there's no argument. Shmuel is discussing a field which is suitable for planting trees more than grain, and Rav is discussing a field which is not suitable for planting trees more than grain. So the bird caller snuck into a field where a tree owner and landowner were dividing the olives from a tree that had been swept away by a river and planted there, and planted a tree without permission to attract the rare kuf olive bird, expecting to be paid, was startled when his landlord used a bird whistle to notify him 30 days before Sukkot that he was being evicted from his home where he sold bird whistles when his rental term ends in the winter, which reminds us the next Mishnah teaches the laws governing evicting a tenant at the end of his lease. As the Gemara explains, the Mishnah's rulings are lehodia, to notify a tenant that he'll be evicted. Thus, the Mishnah states that one cannot evict a tenant whose term ends in the winter when it's difficult to find other housing unless he notifies him 30 days before the winter season, meaning before Sukkot. In large cities where it's especially difficult to find housing, he must notify him a full 12 months before his term ends that he'll be evicted. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which duff do we discuss if a borrowed cat which died while killing mice is considered mesa makmas malacha? That's on duff. Tzadi Zayin. Good. Number two, which duff do you discuss if one sold his olive trees for their wood and the buyer did not remove them immediately and they produce olives, who gets the oil? That's on duff. Kuf. Good. Number three, which duff do you learn that in a home rental of 12 dinarim per year, one dinar per month, the 13th month's rent is divided? That's on duff. Kuf base. Good. Number four, which duff do we discuss a case where one borrowed a cow with the owner servicing him and then rented the cow without the owner servicing him? That's on duff. Tzadiches. Good. Number five, which duff do we have a question if someone planted a tree in someone else's field without rishus, whether he can be paid in full? That's on duff. Kufal. Good. Number six, which duff do you discuss taking a shvua in a dispute over which of two slaves or fields were sold? That's on duff. Kuf. Good. Number seven, which duff do the mitzvah of shvua kaken where the nest is in private property? That's on duff. Kuf beis. Good. Number eight, which duff do you discuss the rules of evicting a tenant at the end of his lease and the need to give 30 days notice before the winter for someone whose term ends in the winter? That's on duff. Kufav. Good. Number nine, which duff do we discuss the difference between paying for stolen hektish and chulin for a cake of pressed dates? That's on duff. Tzadi test. Good. Number 10, which duff do you discuss the musk of a house requires a zevel in the chatzer because chatzer shal adam konulo shal modaito? That's on duff. Kuf beis. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.